My friends, what is the motivation of your life? Is your life determined by your convictions or by whatever is convenient? There is a tremendous difference in following one's convictions rather than what is convenient. Today, I should like to discuss convictions or convenience. An Old Testament incident is a perfect example of this great difference between conviction and convenience. If you will read in 1 Kings chapter 12, you will find that Jeroboam became king over Israel and Rehoboam was king over Judah. With this divided condition disturbing God's people, Jeroboam created some unlawful institutions in order to consolidate his hold upon Israel. The Bible declares, "And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now will the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem. Then will the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me, and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and he said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set them one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before one even unto Dan. And he made houses of high priest, and made priests from among all the people that were not of the sons of Levi. 1 Kings 12, 25 through 31. Out of his selfishness and greed, Jeroboam gave the people a choice between conviction and convenience. Like a crafty politician, Jeroboam said to the people, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Jeroboam's religion was in direct opposition to God. This wicked king built false places of worship with unauthorized priests and idolatrous practices, thus providing the people with constant opportunities and temptations to engage in this false worship. Jeroboam's religion was part truth and part error, but in the final analysis, it was a man-made, man-centered religion. As such, it was nothing more than idolatry. An idolatry in which man's wishes and ways took precedence over God's purposes and plans. In fact, it was a kind of idolatry that is even worse than the idolatry of the pagan. The pagan worships falsely, but sincerely, whereas the Israelites knew the right, but practiced the wrong. In like manner today, so many of us know what is right, but we are doing wrong instead. And so many of the preachers and professors of our age are sounding the call of Jeroboam, saying, It is too much. It is too much. You don't have to do everything exactly as the Bible teaches, we're told. Beloved, hear me. Are you listening? It takes courage and conviction to do right. In every generation, so many have convictions that are no stronger than water. They run only downhill. You know something? Any old chunk can float down the river. I ask, conviction or convenience? There are numerous Bible examples of this principle we're discussing today. In the beginning of God's narrative, the story of Cain and Abel first illustrated the difference between conviction and convenience. The book of Genesis records, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Jehovah. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, and the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Genesis 4, verses 2 through 5. The New Testament affirms that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Hebrews 11, 4. Since faith comes by hearing the word of God, according to Romans 10, 17, it is obvious that God had spoken his will to both Cain and Abel. One man responded out of conviction in what was right, a conviction based upon the revealed will of God. The other man responded by doing what was more convenient for him to do. What a difference it made in the lives of these two young men. Not only was Cain's offering rejected by God, but he soon killed his brother and brought upon himself the curse of God. God respects conviction and obedience. He rejects the principle of convenience in preference to conviction. In Leviticus chapter 10 is the tragic story of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. As priests, they offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he instantly rejected, causing a fire from heaven to devour them. Like Cain of old, they evidently were following the rule of convenience rather than conviction. Beloved, it made a difference with God. Down through the generations of Old Testament history, the Israelites so often found it convenient to worship with their neighbors. This convenient practice almost always resulted in idolatry. One of the most beautiful examples of real conviction is found in the life of Joshua and his farewell speech to the people. In Joshua 14:15, he said, "Now therefore fear Jehovah and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve ye Jehovah. And if it seem evil to you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom ye will serve." Then Joshua concluded, "But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah." The voice of Joshua was the voice of conviction. How do you speak today? Does your life, is it directed by conviction or by whatever is convenient? Ladies and gentlemen, having discussed some biblical examples of both conviction and convenience, let us now consider the modern-day examples of conviction and convenience. The religious world today is filled with those who would cry out like King Jeroboam of Old Testament times, "It is too much." Yes, people today are accustomed to having everything easy and convenient. We have push-button this and push-button that, automatic everything else from dishwashers to automobiles, and in this age of automation, almost everything is controlled by automation. About everything is controlled by a switch, except the children. Our age has been characterized by such terms as ease and convenience. It is no wonder that these concepts have spilled over into the realm of religion. A prime example of such thinking is seen in this easy believism that is being preached by so many today. Based on a sort of cheap grace, as one scholar called it, this easy believism is popular because it is appealing to those who are looking for that which is convenient and handy. Salvation is made a simple, one-step, one-stop process. "Just believe," admonishes the modern preacher. "Just lay your hand on the radio and say, 'I believe,'" cries someone in the radio audience, and even the radio evangelist. "Just receive Christ in your heart," we are told. Beloved, is salvation merely a quick, easy process? Is it something that one does in an instant and that he can't even lose it in a lifetime? Does he not have a responsibility in obeying God? Although the Bible states that one is saved by faith, it is not an easy believism that the Scriptures are referring to. Jesus declared, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. The Savior also taught, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," John 14:15. And the Apostle John wrote that the only thing that will avail us is that faith working through love, he said in Galatians 5:6. Yes, my friends, it is not an easy believism, but rather a faith that leads one to complete his obedience to the gospel of Christ. That's what counts. In John 1:11-12, it is revealed that Christ came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. My friends, when one believes on the name of Christ and receives him in his heart, that one is given the right or power to become a child of God. To become, obviously, is future tense, not present tense. One does not become a child of God if he is already a child of God. One does not become a child of God the instant he believes. as this easy believism would have you believe. One becomes a child of God when his faith grows to the extent that it moves him to obey God. Notice that in John 3:36, where the Savior is discussing faith and eternal life, the American Standard Version renders the passage in these words: "He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Although the King James Version uses the term faith in both phrases, the American Standard Version is obviously correct in employing the expression "obeyeth not the Son" as the opposite of the expression "believeth on the Son." This point, that the saving faith is obedient faith, is brought out in every major translation of the Bible, such as the American Standard Version, the Revised Standard, the English Bible, and other versions that might be mentioned. Even the popular paraphrased called Living Bible, which I cannot recommend for general use, also brings out this distinction. The Living Bible paraphrases John 3:36 like this: "And all who trust him," God's Son, "to save them have eternal life. Those who don't believe and obey him shall never see heaven, but the wrath of God remains upon them." No, beloved, this easy believism is not the answer when it comes to salvation. It may be easy and convenient as to doctrinal practice, but it falls far short of revealed will of God in the Scriptures. God's Word declares that faith must manifest itself in obedience to the commands which Christ has given in order that salvation may be obtained. Have you ever seriously studied the arguments that people make against baptism? As it is a command of Christ, let us consider it. Most of the objections to the necessity of baptism sound a great deal like King Jeroboam of old when he protested to the people, "It is too much." Yes, baptism is too much for some people today. They desire an easy believism in which they can nod their head, lay their hands on the radio, or sign a response card and suddenly be assured of eternal life. However, the way of salvation is not that easy and convenient, ladies and gentlemen. Hear the commands of Jesus Christ and his apostles. Are you listening? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. The apostle Peter commanded, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins." Acts 2:38. Paul wrote, "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." Galatians 3:26-27. Paul himself was commanded to "arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." Acts 22:16. My friends, becoming a child of God is not a simple, easy, convenient process. Easy believism is not the answer. One cannot study the New Testament deeply and honestly without coming to the conviction that one's salvation involves far more than this. Will you, like Abel of old, obey the revealed will of God? Will you be motivated by convictions based upon the Word of Christ, or by what is popular and convenient? The choice is yours to make, but your choice involves the destiny of your soul.